Let's look at English. 1600 years ago, the language that was spoken in this country, we wouldn't understand. I wouldn't understand it, you wouldn't understand it. After that time, many invaders came to Britain and brought their own languages. The Danes, the Norsemen, the Vikings, the Saxons, and finally the Normans from France. 1066, 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago, the English that was spoken would be like a foreign language today. If you heard it, you'd think, oh, what's that foreign language? 600 years ago, Chaucer died, and, you know, I gave you an example of Chaucer's writing. 400 years ago, Shakespeare died, and the age of colonial expansion began, and the expansion diffusion process of English began. 400 years ago. The language that was spoken even 400 years ago would be very difficult for Jonathan or Margaret or Joan or Sarah or myself to understand. We'd understand it, but we'd struggle because it was so different to what it is today. So, what will happen to English? Well, let's just look at these predictions very quickly. According to my research, and I spent a lot of time researching reading work by a man called David Gradol. The number of English learners will peak at 2 billion in about 15 years' time. So you're nearly at the peak, at the top, the maximum number. And the reason for this is because other languages will begin to compete. It's already happening on the internet. There are more and more Chinese language websites and Arabic language websites and Spanish language websites. More and more and more. Native speaker norms will become less important. Now, a norm is like speakers of the norm are the ones who impose the rules of grammar. You know, present perfect tense and all that stuff. That hard stuff that you have to learn. They'll become less important. People will begin to ignore them. Because English will have fragmented, because Chinglish and Japlish and Spanglish will have become more influential, and people will communicate with each other less rigidly. The rules will be easing off. Other languages are growing on the internet. Mandarin and Spanish will challenge English, especially Mandarin, probably Spanish. Possibly by 2050, Arabic, Urdu, and Hindi will all have overtaken English as the global languages. What is interesting is that soon it won't be just good enough to learn English to get on. You need English and another language. That's going to come as a shock to English people because they're very bad at learning languages. So it's a question of convergence or divergence, okay? Well, in terms of convergence, I've got this quotation from a man called Jack Payak, who's at the University of Montreal. English has triumphed because it is open to change, unlike French, which is watched over by the Académie Française. The French language, there are the intellectual people in France are making desperate efforts to preserve the French language as it is and not let it change. But English, there's no such academy to protect the language. What's happening more importantly, and this is in terms of divergence, is the ever-increasing learning of English in an informal way. And the more informal the approach is to learning a language, the more it will change. This will lead to the development of dialects of English. And it may be that the only, and this is a maybe, it's just a guess, it's an idea put forward by this guy Paul Nerriere very, very recently, that what will end up will be something called Globish, which will be a very small language of, say, about 1,500 words, which everybody in the world will learn to speak in order to communicate with each other. But the English or any other language will splinter up into these hybrid dialects. So Globish is something which might be interesting to research. Maybe later on in your classes, I thought your teachers might like you to discuss some of these questions. Especially this last one. The question is, who has ownership of English? Is it the British? Is it the Americans? Or is it non-native speakers of English? Who's going to shape the future of English? Those are my references. These are the books I've read. This is a very recent article in The New Scientist, which you might find on the internet. And I think the article that I gave you to read, I can't remember if it was Gradol or Erard, was it? It was Gradol. Was it Erard or Gradol? But the most readable of all of these is David Crystal. So if you're interested in this topic, do read David Crystal's book. David Crystal, by the way, used to be a university lecturer here at Reading. That's all I have to say today. We don't really have any time for questions, unfortunately. I talked far too long. But maybe you'd like to ask questions of your teachers when you get back. Thank you very much.